Good evening and welcome to The Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and joining me in studio tonight I have Colm Burke, Fine Gael TD for Cork North Central, John Lahart, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South West and party spokesperson on Dublin, Roderick O'Gorman, Green Party TD for Dublin West, Fintan Warfield, Sinn Féin, Shannon candidate and party spokesperson for Youth Affairs, LGBT Rights and the Arts, and Jennifer Bray, political reporter with The Irish Times. We want to hear from you, so get in touch. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate at rte.ie or tweet to @LateDebateRTE, hashtag RTELD. Now, if you thought the talks on government formation were proceeding at a frustrating snail's pace, well, today there was actually no talking at all. In fact, the most significant development of the day was that statement from the Social Democrats cancelling their meeting with Fine Gael and saying that they refused to participate in what they say was essentially theatrics by Fine Gael. Here's Simon Coveney explaining the Fine Gael position on Morning Ireland this morning.
I'm not going to get bounced into predicting the future in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks' time now. We are a party that wants to recognise how people have voted. We want to respect that. We want to show a bit of humility as a party that's been in government for quite some time, but has had a very difficult election. And we want to give what have been opposition parties the opportunity to follow through on the promises that they've made, some extraordinary promises that we believe would be hugely damaging for the country, but nevertheless promises that people voted for.
Simon Coveney there talking this morning. Jennifer Bray, are these talks getting anywhere at all?
No. No, they won't. And nothing of any real substance will happen before Thursday. So we know on Thursday the Dáil will meet and attempt to nominate a Taoiseach. No one will be successful. The numbers just aren't there at the moment. And what we won't really see any action or any substantive talk until after that point. There is stuff going on behind the scenes. Like, there are independents meeting up and they are speaking and charting their own way forward. But the big parties are holding back. And they, you know, at the weekend, I think what happened was there were briefings about a grand coalition between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens. And
now,
I think
I'd love to know where those briefings were coming from.
Well, if you notice, they were the Sunday papers, and we don't have an edition of the Sunday in Irish Times, so I can't possibly say. But the next day I was working on the Sunday, and I did notice that the horses were a bit spooked. And I think that there was a real sense of this has gone too far too quickly. And all of a sudden this narrative started emerging that, well, hold on a minute, actually it's up to Sinn Féin now to form a government. Mary Lou McDonald says she wanted to form a government of the left, so she should go off and do that over the next couple of days. And that was to be the narrative. That's the narrative that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, I think, would like to be out there before Thursday, even though we all know that the numbers are not there. So it's perfectly natural and perfectly normal for people to wonder, well, what is the next government going to look like? But they are also looking to see, okay, right, when Mary Lou McDonald puts herself forward for the position of Taoiseach, how many of those independents and how many parties on the left will back her? And then they can get an idea of where they're at and maybe who is open to being swayed. And I would expect after Thursday that what we will see is contact between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, although there is fierce opposition to a grand coalition within both parties.
Yeah, Fine Gael's stance in particular after the parliamentary party. I'll be asking you about that parliamentary party in a minute, Colm Burke. What the Taoiseach, or what Leo Varadkar said after that meeting, where he said that they were willing to meet, but that their mandate was to just share their analysis of the election. That obviously fed into that response from the Social Democrats.
Yeah, what I heard is that when they heard that, they thought, well, what is the point in us meeting Leo Varadkar so he can tell us his analysis of where Fine Gael went wrong? There's absolutely no point in that. And they were quite strong in their language. They did say it was game playing and shadow boxing. And I don't think that there's a real feeling especially amongst smaller parties who did well, like the Soc Dems, like the Greens, that the time for turning from exploratory talks is done. It needs to move to policy and it needs to move to actually forming a government. And there's a real sense of that the bigger parties are holding off and they want this narrative to be out there that basically they'll only step in at the very last minute out of the goodness of their hearts in the national interest. And I think that annoys people, to be honest.
Colm Burke, you were at that very lengthy Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting yesterday. What was the mood in the room?
It was very good. It was extremely constructive. I think everyone that contributed, I think there were over 41 contributors to it. They set out what we need to do and how we need to plan about going forward. And I think it was an extremely constructive meeting. And
did you contribute to the meeting yourself?
Yes.
And what were you saying at that meeting?
Well, I think there are major challenges in this country. I think the we have done very well in relation to employment and in relation to stabilising the economy. People, the electorate, felt that we weren't acting fast enough in relation to healthcare and in relation to housing. And I suppose I really talked about the challenges that are in those two areas, that they're not something you can start out overnight, despite the promises that may have been made during the election by the other parties. And I think it's a challenge that we have to face up to. And we have.
So did you express a preference in terms of what you should be doing next?
I think we need at all times, and I mean, I'm involved in politics both at local level, at European level, and politics is about having to compromise. I gave my views that I felt at this stage. There is a general mood out there with the general public that there must be a change, and that they feel that the parties other than Fine Gael should be forming that government. So our view at this stage is to allow an opportunity for our discussions to take place on that issue and see how it progresses.
So would you be in favour of going onto the opposition benches then?
Absolutely. I would be, you know, very happy to be on the opposition. And even though I've been a senator for 9 years, I've always aired my views publicly, even when Fine Gael are in government, because I think there are times when you may disagree with a minister, you may disagree with the party line. And I've said I've come out publicly on a number of occasions where I've given my views, and therefore I've no difficulty about being in opposition.
In being in opposition. But I mean, if you listen to Simon Coveney there, just that clip we played at the top of the programme, he said, obviously, talking about a bit of humility and standing back and, you know, letting the party of the left and letting Sinn Féin get on with it. But he said that he believes that the promises that were made, that if these are followed through on, that they will be hugely damaging. So abdicating responsibility? If you believe that what is coming down the tracks would be hugely damaging, don't you have a responsibility to step in, given the numbers are there with Fianna Fáil, and attempt to, I mean, didn't we hear we did hear those impassioned speeches from Pascal Dunhu about how the centre must hold?
First of all, let's look and see how it progresses as regards the Sinn Féin and the other parties who feel that they need a change, see how they can get
Colin
together.
Bourke, you can count as well as I can.
Yeah, well, if you add up all the numbers, excluding Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, there are sufficient numbers there to make up a government.
But
if you add 35 and 38, it's less than 80. And there's more than 80 people who can make up a government.
But we all know that you don't just require the numbers, you require a stable government.
But we also need to realise that there are people now who are standing on the ditch like hurlers, telling everyone how it should be managed, but are not prepared to get involved in making the hard decisions. And there are hard decisions.
Isn't that a description of Fine Gael right now?
Absolutely no, but we've been 9 years making the hard decisions.
So you think you've deserved your right to be standing on the ditch like hurlers?
No, like we've been 9 years in government, we've made hard decisions, we brought this economy around. We were laughed at back in 2012 when we said we'd create 100,000 jobs. We've now 500,000 more people working in this country compared to 2012. The figures out today are hugely significant. We have over 2.36 million people working. It's the highest number ever.
And the people astounded you with their ingratitude.
Absolutely. But, you know, they have a genuine, and in fairness, there are genuine concerns out there, because there are genuine concerns in relation to the rents, in relation to availability of housing.
But shouldn't you be in there trying to fight for your policies? What about your hospital in Cork that you were telling me that you were so fighting for all these years?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you have a much better chance of getting that if you're on the government side of the house than on the opposition backbenches?
I will still be fighting for that issue. My view is that the population in Cork has increased quite substantially. It will continue to increase. Therefore, we need, and it's not just Cork where we need more hospital beds.
I'm saying is that, is it not the responsibility of everybody who's been elected to try and get into a position to deliver what you believe is needed?
Absolutely. And about being in opposition, it's about being constructive and about adding and making a contribution to delivering what's needed for this country.
Okay, John Lahart.
Katie.
First of all, can I ask you, because people are getting a bit worried, where's Micheál Martin?
Micheál Martin is in his Leinster House office today, all day, busy, Journalists are getting worried. No one's asked me today where Micheál Martin was, and I was in Leinster House as well.
He has been keeping his head down, though.
He has been keeping his head, okay, and keeping calm and doing what a party leader who's been through this kind of thing before needs to do, which is keep calm. He has made contact. I mean, it's not true to say that nothing has happened. Like, if you look at what's happened in the last week, there was contact between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald. She asked him to write to him. They had a lengthy conversation. She asked him to write to him. He has written to her, outlining the serious reservations that Fianna Fáil has in relation to and outlining the position he outlined during the election in relation to coalescing with Sinn Féin. He has spoken to the Green Party leader today. I understand possibly the Sock Dems. I'm not certain about that, but I think that that will happen. So I think the proof of the pudding, though, in relation to this humility piece, and I want to make another comment just about the deliberations. The proof of the pudding about this is whether Leo puts himself, allows himself to be nominated as Taoiseach. I mean, why, if you are relishing the prospect of leading the opposition, would you allow yourself to be nominated as Taoiseach? It just really doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me.
He's going to put his name forward. Is he,
well, why would he do that, Colm?
On the basis that we're giving, it's a democratic process. There's 160 people in there that have a vote, and they're entitled to vote for Leo Varadkar if they feel he's the best person to put forward for Taoiseach. And we believe he's the best person to lead this country into very difficult Brexit negotiations that are going to happen. That's the decision.
Does he have to, though, in the party rules? Is there a rule that says he must put his name forward?
No, it's a decision.
But he has declared his relish for leading the opposition.
Because
and I think a clear indication of that relish would be that if he didn't allow his name. But look, that's going to happen, but it's for others, it's for the public to make their minds up.
Well, it is mixed messages, point. In fairness.
It is. Can I just make...
He's giving a choice to 160 Oireachtas members, or members of Dáil Éireann, to make a decision about who they want to have.
But hasn't he just told those 160 members that he wants to be the leader of the opposition?
This is on the basis of indications that have been given.
Clearest indication that he could give that he wants to lead opposition, that he would not to be nominated.
There have also been indications given that that people want change, and we're saying that Leo Varadkar is offering his name as Taoiseach on the basis that he's giving a choice to people so that they have that choice, and we're back to...
Do you know what, Cullenberg, I don't mean to cut across to you, but honestly, I do think people are tearing their hair. I've just got a text in here in front of me. Katie, I didn't vote for Fine Gael to have my vote wasted. What the hell are they playing at? They should stop messing around to get on with forming a government. There is a sense that there is an awful lot of messing around here.
But no,
with the let them see if they can form this and form that. We all know.
Katie, back in 2016, we put everything on the table, and we went into government for 4 years as a minority government with the support of Fianna Fáil.
And you were highly critical of Sinn Féin and others at that time for not stepping up to the plate.
We've been nine years.
And now you are behaving in the same way.
We're 9 years in government where we have delivered on jobs, we've delivered on stabilising the economy, and we have the fastest growing economy in Europe.
Sorry,
that's what we've delivered on.
Okay, John Lahart, you were saying there was another point.
Yeah, well, I think there is. I mean, I've met the public yesterday, today, out in my constituency, and I accept what your texter is saying, and that there may be some people who want things to move faster. But I think the public are absorbing what's happened, particularly in the last week, and there's a lot to absorb. Part of this, the media is like nature; it abhors a vacuum. But there's going to be vacuums by necessity in this process. There's going to have to be confidentiality and respect for talks that are going on in the background. Because any kind of breach of things like this can cause damage to the process. So we are in process. It may not be in...
Yeah, but what is that process, John Harry?
Be in deep process.
We've got an email into the programme here. It's blatantly obvious what Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are trying to do, playing some stupid game to set Sinn Féin up for a fall. And is that not what this is about? This is about allowing space, as Fergus Finlay said in the studio last week, allowing space for Sinn Féin to fail.
No, you see, I think there are a number of possible mathematical solutions to this. Some of them may not seem, that possible initially. If you took, for example, and this is, I'm just offering this as a personal view, if you took, with, say, Fianna Fáil, the Sock Dems, Labour perhaps under a new leader may change the position and decide, look, we'd like to participate. That would give us 62. Okay, if you take away the 35 Fine Gael from the 160 and the Cian Chorla, that's bang on half. Then add some independence. Now, there's a possibility. I'm not making any assumptions about Sock Dems or Greens or what they will do, but there is a mathematical possibility and a political possibility that hasn't been discounted yet, that could happen, but would need to be underpinned with a confidence supply. So Fine Gael would have to step up to the mark in a way that we did, and that would be radical. That would be reflect a change as well. So, you know, I don't think there's anybody trying to put anybody in a position. Remember, Mary Lou kind of said, you know, the last people she wanted to do business with was Fianna Fáil, that she wanted to create a government of the left. Yep. Then she kind of was kind counted. Of trying to boss Fianna Fáil into a position in the last week. Ona Brin said, not possible to do it now, really, without any either of the big parties. Now they've gone back to their original position that they want to try and form a government of the left. And it is, look, to quote Bertie Ahern on Sunday as well, it's not just about numbers. In fact, at the end of the day, it will not be about numbers exclusively. It will be about the programme that's put forward and policies that are
OK, let's talk about the programme. Roderick, everyone wants to play ball with the Greens. You've had everyone knocking on your door in terms of government formation possibilities. In terms of what you're going, you had your meeting. You had a meeting today, was it?
Yeah, we had a meeting on Monday.
On Monday.
Another one today, yeah.
Another one today. Yeah. So have you got in writing now what you will be going into those meetings with party leaders?
Look, I think
demanding.
We as a party were very conscious that last week nothing of a substantive nature was happening and it was very much this political shadow boxing. So that's why over the weekend, Eamon came out with his initiative to hold bilateral meetings with all parties interested in participating in a government. And we've identified six key issues that we found coming up in the election that the next government has to grapple with. And they're tackling the housing crisis, action on climate and biodiversity, supporting our community sector, tackling Brexit in an all-Ireland context, how we actually fund those particular measures, and finally the implementation of Sláintecare Care. So those are six key issues that the next government have to address. And what we're proposing and what we're hoping to hear back from the party leaders over the course of the next few days is a series of meetings next week in Dublin Castle, where we'll get briefings from the various departments, from the civil servants. It'll be supported by the National Economic and Social Council to give us some more of the specific detail in each of those areas. And following on from those bilateral negotiations, we have the opportunity to identify where are the areas where the parties have similarities, where are the areas where there are quite distinct differences. And that will then form the basis for potential negotiations on a specific programme for government.
But there must be areas in the Green Party policies that will cause significant, perhaps even insurmountable difficulties for some of the parties that you're looking at going to.
And I think this is the opportunity to identify that. And these negotiations will allow us to actually see what are the issues where, and if other parties have different ways in addressing some of the areas that we've identified as priorities, let's hear what they are. But it is only through having those initial talks that we can identify those points.
Yeah, but can I put to you though that, I mean, given the scenario we're in and given, you know, the what we know in terms of your position on climate and where we're at with biodiversity, mm-hmm. the world is on fire, mm-hmm. you really can't afford to sit this one out. You, one way or another, you must find a way into government, surely.
Well, look, we as a party have always felt that the major changes that we need to make in our economy in so many sectors require a party within government who is a strong environmental core. But there's no point in going into government if you're not actually going to deliver on those priorities, if the other parties.
So could
involved,
you walk away from this if you feel...
If an agreement doesn't meet what we think is necessary, particularly in areas of climate, biodiversity,
but wouldn't,
housing...
Wouldn't half measures be better than no measures?
No, I don't think so. And certainly I don't think our membership, and remember, any deal that we agree to has to be supported by two-thirds of our membership, and any sort of business as usual programme for government won't meet that particular criteria. So we'll be going into negotiations, we'll be going into these talks next week in an open basis, in a listening basis. But when it comes to, I suppose, a substantive negotiation, if we don't see very major moves towards cutting our emissions, towards addressing the housing crisis, towards showing how we can address Sláinte Care, but actually fund it as well, because I think it's, you know, there's a lot of nice things written in manifestos, but now is the occasion where we have to show where funding methods can be introduced to actually deliver the commitments that all parties made in their manifestos.
Do you have any sense at this point of who may be serious about talking to you in terms of serious about government formation?
Look, we've had initial talks, Eamon's had initial talks with, I think, all of the party leaders at this stage. And I think even yesterday we met with Solidarity and People Before Profit. So, look, we've consciously attempted to respect the mandate that all parties have received from the electorate, and we're not looking to exclude any party at this point, because we don't think that's right. But I think what we're proposing for next week will probably give us the clearest indication of what parties are genuinely interested in taking part in the potential government.
OK, so we don't know that yet.
No, we don't.
Again, I'm just thinking how many days have passed now since we elected this Dáil, and how little progress we have actually made. I see another email in here. Unpus would be delighted if they keep sending letters to each other with the price increase on the way. Fintan, what's your read of this in terms of, you know, we saw the Sock Dems accusing Fine Gael of shadow boxing and participating in theatrics today. Do you think that ultimately this has to play out and then people will come to the table?
Sinn Féin received 500,000 votes in this election. That brings to about 700,000 votes that Sinn Féin received across this island. I think the others rightly say that there is an onus on Sinn Féin, who have a mandate for change, to speak with others who have that mandate as well. And so we spent the last 10 to 12 days meeting with those who have that mandate for change, the People Before Profit, the Green Party, the Labour Party. I think the onus is on Sinn Féin to do that, to present the opportunity to form a government that will cut rents, freeze rents, that will give workers and families a break. And the people who I meet in Inchy Corr didn't vote for Sinn Féin to be in opposition. They voted for Sinn Féin to implement that change and to present a programme for government. And I contest that nothing has been happening over the last few days. Sinn Féin have met some independents today. We'll meet more progressive independents tomorrow. Marilyn McDonald met with the General Secretary in the Department of the Taoiseach yesterday. Our negotiation team met with them again today.
Yeah, what are those meetings about specifically?
That's about exploring how our manifesto can best fit into a programme for government. And so Ona Brin, as spokesperson for housing, Louise O'Reilly, Piers Doherty and Matt Carthy have met with the Department of the Taoiseach today to explore how the manifesto can best fit into a programme for government.
But what is your sense of where this is going to go? Because it has, as John said, there was the initial, we want to explore setting up, establishing a government of the left. And then there was an acknowledgement from Ona Brin that the numbers don't seem to be there for that. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil have to talk to us. And now we're kind of back again to, let's see who was left over if we can't talk to Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
There's no obstacle for the first time presenting a programme, a progressive programme, a programme for change to the Dáil, and to see then where Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael stand.
So explain to me what you mean by that, that Mary Lou MacDonald will go into the Dáil and present a programme for government?
No, present that we explore options with others to present a programme and a team that can implement change, and then put that on the table to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
You mean publicly bounce them into supporting or walking away from an actual set, solid programme for government?
If the programme for government, well, let's see where they stand if we present a programme for government that commits to freezing rents, to cutting rents, to making a plan for Irish unity, to bringing the pension age back to 65. Let's see where they stand.
John. Good.
Yeah, if we take, I mean, and I was just thinking about the rent freeze over the last couple of days, you know, if we were to believe, for example, some of the business reports of the last couple of weeks, that rents may have stabilised and in some cases maybe...
I know. I think that might be slight exaggeration. They reduced for one quarter by 1% in one area.
Okay, well, there's a couple of points I'd make because there are a number of boomerang policies that Sinn Féin have. If you take, for example, their stance on the local property tax, they want to abolish the property tax. I'd love to abolish the property tax. Brings in close to half a billion. And that funds road sweeping, tree planting, parks, libraries. They say they'll replace that with a 20% increase in the local government subvention, which is at the moment 150 million. A 20% increase in that gives you 180 million. That's 320 million shortfall. They haven't explained where that comes from. They say they'll build 100,000 houses.
But shouldn't you be in there talking to them John Hart, rather than on this programme explaining to people what the issues are?
Hold on a second. I'm a Fianna Fáil representative and I'm representing our position. And some of the proposals that have been made have been outrageous, but I absolutely get the desire for radical action, and we get that, and we've heard it, and we've heard it loud and clear in the election. But what they haven't responded to or answered is this, and you can put forward it in a programme for government to build 100,000 houses in 3 years or 5 years, where the labour is going to come from and where the labour is going to be accommodated in order to do that. You say you're going to do it by slowing down commercial development, but you talk to anybody in the construction industry and they will say, look, the skill set, there are no tilers, okay, available in the trades at the moment, and the skill set and the trade set required to build commercial property is completely different to the skill set required to build houses. We are actually going to have a special on those
pledges and promises all around the housing issues tomorrow night in the studio.
I think, in fairness, there is an issue in relation to, I think, you know, each of the parties, in fairness to each of the parties, have very different manifestos and very different priorities. And I think it's important that this is something that you won't start out on overnight. Time has to be allowed. And we're making that quite clear.
I know, but you're not going to sort it out at all unless you talk to people, surely.
No, we are talking to people in a sense of
The mandate from the parliamentary party yesterday was that you were not to talk to people on government formation and that you would have to meet again before they would mandate those discussions. So you are not going to talk to people.
No, but we are saying quite clearly that we believe that Sinn Féin and the people who are on the left need time in order to come together and put forward what they believe is the best way forward from their point of view.
What about the 43% of people who voted for parties on the right?
We're saying that they have time and we do not want to. We do not want to be accused of in any way frustrating that process.
Fenton, sorry, if you want to respond there to what John was saying in particular.
There's 180,000 vacant units in this state, excluding holiday homes. They'll take a fraction of the cost to bring in to use.
You're talking about like in the cities, derelict buildings and things like that?
I'm talking about certainly between the canals. Dublin City Council say there's about 6,000 units, or have done in recent times, that there are vacant units. And you think about
this has been tried though, Fintan, in terms of trying to bring them up to building regs, that fire standards, wheelchair and disability access standards.
They're connected to services. They're anti-social.
Should we know all that? But bringing them up to, like, this has been tried. Like, what we need is volume.
But to be fair, 180,000, if you listen to academics in this area, they have made this point repeatedly that not enough is being done in terms of vacant properties, which would be much more efficient in terms of, bringing people in.
And I accept that, but it's, and I think something should be done. Dublin City Council did try this, you know, the living above the shopfront, the tax incentives and the rest of it. You have big issues in relation to fire certification.
Well, would you support disability access? It is those small policy measures in so many areas, because 100,000 houses, it's a huge number and we have to put them in the right place as well. And we can't just be building units, we have to be building communities. So we have to put in the social infrastructure, they'll need schools, they'll need community centres, and all of those elements have to work together. And this is the level of detail that should be fleshed out in the type of negotiations that Eamon has been proposing and that we're hoping to see the other parties join us in. We need this level of kind of granular particular policy detail is a good discussion here, but it's just if we could get people into the room.
But it shouldn't be happening here.
Exactly, no, exactly.
But there is, in fairness, it's all discussed.
But we're looking at this stall now.
A lot of progress has been made in Irish housing. I mean, you look at planning commissions in the last 12 months, over 30,000 residential units have been granted planning. So, like, there is a lot of progress being made. And yes, we need to look at this whole issue in relation to vacant houses. But we've made a huge amount of progress with local authorities, where local authorities had a lot of vacant houses, and they've all been brought back into use. Not everywhere. I mean, there's still, we need to turn it over faster than what we've been.
And I think you acknowledge yourself, Conor Burke, that the electorates certainly didn't feel like there was enough progress made or enough urgency on this issue.
But I think the issue that you have in relation to housing, it's not something that you can do overnight. A lot of progress has been done.
I'm just so aware of people not home.
A lot of progress has been made. As I said, 30,000 planning commissions. There'll be about 24,000, 25,000 houses built this year.
The election is over now, Colin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But we have made progress.
Sorry, John Lahart, I want to... You have another parliamentary party meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, I know your last one, the message out of it was very firmly, you know, we've decided and we've agreed as a party we're not going to talk to Sinn Féin. There was very little information about what else was agreed or what you do then once you've decided we're not going to go there. Where are you going to go and what is that going to be on the agenda tomorrow?
No, well, I think tomorrow is just a regular parliamentary party meeting and we'll, you know, it's the regular weekly one that we have when the Dáil resumes, which we'll do on Thursday. But I have to reiterate, and you'll hate me for reiterating this, we have heard the message loud and clear in relation to radical proposals that are needed in relation to housing in particular. And there's a lot of work going on in relation to that. You know, I think we do need to go farther than we did in the manifesto, and there's an acknowledgement on that, OK? And I think we will have some very, very concrete, radical ideas.
So you're going
ideas.
To move on from what was promised in your manifesto?
Well, I think there was a general acceptance that, look, we need to be a bit more radical than that.
So you're going to move closer to Sinn Féin's policy?
Yes, no, that's policy didn't.
That's not necessarily... No, if I can give one example, mm-hmm. you know, that would be close to home. The SHDs, the Strategic Housing Development, which the fast-track planning, which has just resulted in a plethora of co-living, student accommodation and build-to-rent. That can be tackled, actually. You know, we had a bill in the last Dáil that fell with the last Dáil that would insist that no one entity could own all of them, OK? And secondly, that a third of them would have to be dedicated to first-time buyers. That actually would make a radical difference.
OK, but that was part of your policy. So what bit are you changing?
I think in terms of fleshing that out, particularly in relation to the SHDs, because there are multiple applications, particularly, you know, in constituencies like my own. But what I want to say to you to answer your question specifically is we're going through process and it's tedious. This is probably the most transformative, potentially, general election, certainly in my lifetime, OK? Things have to be done, some of them below radar and confidentially. And I know that doesn't please the media, who are hungry for news and hungry for reporting news. But it's a necessary part of the process.
But if you're going to be taking the party, if Micheál Martin and the party leadership are going to take the party somewhere where it hasn't gone before, surely there has to be some starting steps now of laying down the groundwork for that, because they're not going to be able to wake up in 3 weeks' time and announce, you know what, we're run out of options here and we're going to either go with one or the other, Sinn Féin or Fine Gael. So that's what seems to be the missing piece, that everyone is wandering around as if they have no clue or intention for what the next step should be. And surely if there are going to be next steps with any of the big parties, any of those three parties, the membership has to be prepared.
And I said to you when I was saying at the start that, you know, when you talk to the public, most of the public that I've spoken to, and spoken to a number of them in the last week and since the election, are still absorbing. They're at a different stage of it and their thinking is evolving. They're absorbing the drama of what happened on election day and never happened before.
But I'm telling you now, John Hart, if I'm putting my child to bed in a hotel room tonight, no, I don't have time to be absorbing the drama. I want you to get on with it.
And in fact, well, I've told you, my party leader spoke to the Green Party leader. I think he may have spoken to the Soc Dems. I'm not sure if it was today, it'll be tomorrow. That will continue. I'm sure he'll report back to us tomorrow. Okay, there is a degree of patience here. And the reason that patience is needed is that whatever decisions are made party members have to be brought with us. The public has to be brought with us. The public has to buy into whatever decision is made ultimately as well.
Okay. Jennifer, just moving on to Thursday, because we are going to have the first meeting of the 33rd Dáil on Thursday. What's going to happen?
Well, the first thing that will be up in the schedule is the election of a Ceann Comhairle. So if there is more than one person who runs, then there has to be, if there's a contest, and there has to be a vote by secret ballot. And that will probably take us up to around 5 o'clock on Thursday. So I'll take up the majority of the day. There's a couple of names floating around.
Sean O'Farrell is putting his hat back in the ring, and he would be the hot favourite, I would have thought.
He would be, and I think he has 10 signatures already. You only need 7. So I think he would be the hot favourite at the moment. There's also rumours of Fine Gael's Bernard Durkin. There were rumours about Catherine Murphy, but she said a couple of hours ago that she wasn't going to go for that.
Heather Humphreys? Any clue to that rumour?
Interesting.
I just saw odds floating around. Do you hear anything about that, Colin Bourke? I saw odds floating around for Heather Humphreys on social media earlier.
I'm not aware of that. I know Frank Fian has expressed a view.
And Frank, of course. Frank Fian.
Actually, now I think of it, I was in the Dáil canteen earlier on, heard someone saying, oh, Heather's going for that. And I thought, what's that about? Could be that.
Do we know yet who the smaller parties are going to back for Taoiseach, or are those independents, that block of independents?
Past 5 o'clock on Thursday. So we'll see the different. So obviously Sinn Féin put forward Marilyn McDonald, Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar, and the Green Party will put forward Eamon Ryan. And after that, it's not really known at the moment. Last time Solidarity PPP put forward, I think, Richard Boy Barrett. I could be wrong. Yeah, Richard Boy Barrett. So we don't know yet who they will back, but the numbers, it's statistically impossible for Mary Lou McDonald to win that. Like I said earlier on, the other parties will be watching how many votes she can get as part of that left bloc. So what will happen is there will be no successful candidate, and then we'll go, the Dáil will be reconvened at a later date to go for round two of nominating a Taoiseach in the intervening period, hopefully. We will have seen some actual proper talks rather than the backroom stuff that everybody's talking about, and know what form that government will take. And can I just say as well one more thing? It's really easy to paint a narrative that it's only the media who want to know what's going on. I would completely disagree with that. I think actually a lot of people exercised their mandate, they voted, and now they're sitting back. And it's a fact that no one party won the election outright, and that's why there's such difficulty. But if you look at where all the parties are in terms of seat numbers, you're not that far away from each other. So it's actually extraordinary to see parties standing back and saying, we'll let this other person to take a chance. I'm not too young to remember Leo Varadkar saying a week and a half ago, don't be writing our political obituary. But it looks like Fine Gael are writing their own political obituary and saying, go for it. You form a government and we'll stand back.
We have, for 9 years, we've come in and provided stable government with a minority situation for 4 years. And in fairness, we believe that the electorate have given a decision, and we believe time should be allowed to the parties who got the majority of the votes to start off that process.
Okay, how much time, Colin Bourke?
Well, it's a very short time period after the election. We're 10 days after an election. The last one took 70 days. Northern Ireland, Sinn Féin took 3 years to get into government. No, we're not going to wait around 3 years. And I certainly think I would hope that progress would be made and that we would have a government in place within. Certainly, I would hope that it wouldn't go to 70 days and it would be shorter.
Well, it is kind of terrifying, the number of people who are now mentioning the 70 days as if it's the target rather than something to be avoided at all costs. What kind of time are you putting on this?
Look, I think the talks we're holding next week, I think, will give us a strong indication of where there are points of agreement with other parties, and that can lead then to more substantive negotiations. So I think next week, certainly from our point of view, will tell a lot.
Okay, John Lehart, time?
Well, it's going to take time. It's a process, as I said. And I know people, listeners, possibly won't want to hear that. But what I want to reiterate that the message, you know...
Like, would it be acceptable for this to roll for anything close to 70 days?
No. I mean, everybody wants to ensure that a government is formed as speedily and efficiently as possible. In this first phase, certainly the message I want to get people to receive out there is that the message they delivered about the urgency of action, it's absolutely not lost on us, particularly in relation to housing, the need for radical solutions. There is absolutely nothing going on in the background. There's a lot of work going on in the background, and it's necessary preparatory work.
Okay. Fintan.
Can I say I'm of the opinion that the best option is a government without Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. But I think the, you know, what Micheál Martin has decided and gone into this campaign, you know, not to deal, refusing to do business with Sinn Féin is completely untenable and contradicts everything that John says in this debate about, you know, being on the pitch or whatever.
But we have a mandate too. You know, everybody's talking about Sinn Féin's mandate. We have a mandate and a legitimate mandate, and we made commitments to the electorate, and we're entitled to deliver on those commitments to the electorate too. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get involved in mud wrestling about this, but I mean, you know, it was Mary Lou who said, like, Fianna Fáil is the last party that we want to do business with. And then last Thursday, was writing a letter asking, why aren't you engaging with us?
But Mary Lou MacDonald stated in that last debate, mm-hmm. that last debate on RT, that she would do business with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in order to get her the policies through. So that this
question you need to put to.
No, but I'm saying you're suggesting that this is only something that happened post the election.
No, but what I'm restating is, you know, we have a mandate, you know, and all the parties have mandates, and we have to respect our mandate. Yeah.
But a
huge number of people that voted for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voted for you on the basis of not having Sinn Féin in government. So don't you have to respect that mandate as well?
That's exactly my point.
Yeah. But there is a way to stop Sinn Féin from going into government, and that's to go into government with the like-minded party that is also in the position you're in the Dáil.
Well, they've made their position clear. So, as I've said...
So you're saying that Fianna Fáil wouldn't have an objection to going down that road?
No, what I've said is, like, discussions have started. I've outlined a numerical scenario to you that could be possible. We won't know. There's a number of things. Like, for example, I'm not making any assumptions, but like the Labour leadership, they may decide under a new leader...
Actually, I heard Alan Kelly saying today that that's not going to be reopened
have that new leader in place until April.
Katie.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think there is issues, though, in relation to the what Sinn Féin proposed in their election manifesto. I mean, we're talking about 15 new taxes, and we would have a huge problem in anything to deal. We've already set out the reasons why we wouldn't deal with Sinn Féin, but this is now confirmed a further why we wouldn't deal with them.
So 15
additional taxes.
Sorry, Roger.
While I think everyone agrees that the idea of 70 days isn't tenable, you made the point earlier on that it's important to get a stable government. And that does require a little bit of time now to go through those policies and get those agreements so we don't cobble together something quickly that then goes on to unravel.
Yeah, I see Aoife here tweeting something similar. Colin Burke is right, Colin. There isn't a game afoot. Government formation is like a relationship that ought to be to last and should not be rushed into. Why is this something that is constantly overlooked?
I remember the 70 days the last time we ended up with a government for 4 years.
Can I just say, if it does go on to 70 days, Fintan, could we see more of your TDs getting into trouble? We've had Violet and Wynne with the issues with the €12,000 in rent arrears to the housing charity. Today we have Rhiada Cronin apologising unreservedly and wholeheartedly to those offended by a number of tweets where she used offensive language, questioned the fluoridation of the public water supply and linked Israel to Nazism.
I expect Sinn Féin leaders and TDs not to be getting into more trouble over the 70 days. I know in both cases they've apologised unreservedly and withdrawn the comments. I didn't see the tweets. But I do have the vaccine myself as a man who has sex with men, and I'm all the better for it.
That's the HPV vaccine. That was one of the issues that Violet and Wynne had to clarify. OK, we'll take a break there, but stay with us because we will talk about the Labour leadership and online abuse of politicians after these.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Now, the race to succeed Brendan Howlan as a Labour leader warmed up today, with the two main contenders now out of the traps.
I'm delighted to announce this morning that I've been nominated to stand for the leadership of the Labour Party. I fundamentally believe we need to go back to basics, reconnect with the people, and absolutely build from the bottom up.
I am going to run for the Labour leadership.
Why you?
I think I offer a chance for change for the Labour Party. 10 years ago, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour would have filled the Oireachtas. Now they wouldn't even fill a government if we were to join together.
And that was, of course, Éan Ó-Riordán there and before him, Alan Kelly, who are the two nominees now for the Labour leadership. Jennifer, who's got the edge here?
It's actually hard to know because it's hard to tell what work both candidates have done over the last couple of months in travelling around the country and shoring up support. I'm sure, but well, Alan Kelly, for sure, he went for the leadership in 2016. And actually, I think what we've seen today in Alan Kelly is sort of a totally different version of him in a way. If you remember 2016, if he didn't announce it on the Late Late, it was at least one of the first times he said, and he came on to the theme tune of I want it all, I want it now. And he's kind of high-fiving Ryan Tuberty, and it was all very kind of almost slapstick or something. It was very unusual. And this time he's appeared with a really large cohort of party members, former TDs, current TDs, councillors, flanking him in the room where he made his announcement with the media present. So it was a completely different approach this time. And he kind of choked up and got a bit, not upset, but he was kind of a bit emotional when he was talking about how the support that he'd received and how he was humbled by it. So clearly he's trying to paint a picture of, you know, him being far away from power as a drug and kind of screaming on the shoulders of his supporters in the Count Centre to kind of Alan Kelly humbled. Alan Kelly, you know, but ready for another go of it.
To go from the situation he found himself in 2016 where he couldn't find a single member of their admittedly quite small parliamentary party to back his nomination, to be standing there today with Jan O'Sullivan and Willie Penrose and all those councillors around him. His position seems to have changed quite radically in terms of his standing within the party.
Definitely. And I would never be an apologist for any politician or kind of up to other people to make up their minds about what they think. But I do think, objectively speaking, over the last couple of years, he really has kind of knuckled down and look at the support that he receives from people like Vicky Phelan and Lorraine Walsh. He's kind of made himself a voice for women's healthcare. And he's also been very outspoken on the Public Accounts Committee on things like the Children's Hospital. I think he's made a name for himself in justice matters as well. So I think he's put in the hard yards, and perhaps now the rest of the Labour Party feel that it's the right time to come in behind him. But of course, we have Éan Ó-Riordán going for it as well.
And he's got Jed Nash backing him, nominating him, and Ivana Bacic, again, two very senior figures within the Labour Parliamentary Party. Will there be a Dublin rural split here? Will there be, I suppose you would associate Éan with the more urbanite kind of Labour supporter.
Yeah, I think there will be, and we'll see this play out over the next couple of weeks, because obviously Alan Kelly has his base in Tipperary. I just will be interested to see how they differentiate each other in terms of personality, in terms of policy. And we know Labour only got, I think, 4.4% of the vote in the election. I would disagree with whoever was saying here earlier on that they might change their mind in relation to government formation talks. They really won't. Like, they won't find out. The way this process will work is going to take a long time. Some critics argue too long. So we will know, I think, somewhere around April 3rd is when the votes will come back in. And hopefully there will be a government formed by then or near then.
Yeah, Roderick.
I suppose maybe as an outside observer, I might have assumed that there was a sort of a Dublin versus outside Dublin divide there. What struck me, I saw the Team Kelly, let's say, arrive this morning at the Dáil as well. And what struck me was how many of the Dublin councillors and activists, people I even served on Fingal County Council, were coming in behind Alan Kelly. And I suppose if you were of the mind that there was that divide, that wouldn't particularly look particularly good for Éan Ó-Riordán to have quite a substantial base of the kind of North and West Dublin councillors and activists coming in behind Alan Kelly at this early stage.
Yeah, you wouldn't write Éan Ó-Riordán off at this point, and either column. You would have worked with Éan on the Shannon.
Yeah, but it was very much with Alan Kelly and the Health Committee.
And in the Health Committee,
And I would know, I suppose, Alan a bit more than I would know Éan. I would imagine that Alan has a higher profile, and I think that will probably stand to him in this leadership battle. But I don't know the internal workings of the Labour Party as regards, you know,
how the membership
will vote.
So do we even know how many members would between Labour Party?
So I think there's up to 5,000, but it's expected around 2,500, 3,000. Open to correction. So.
And at least it's transparent. other parties could learn from that. We see exactly the process of nomination and who will be how.
And they have
elected.
Hustings in, in public. Absolutely. And all that.
Well, we've done that the same way in Fine Gael the last time round, where we had a number of meetings around the country between Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar. So it was very much open and very transparent.
Except your weight, the vote of your weight. The weight of your vote.
You could have another one soon.
But it was a change from where it was purely the parliamentary party before.
Yeah, so but the parliamentary party had a much greater weight than the membership, which of course some people took quite badly.
Well, you know, but it was a very open debate, and I mean, there were a number of very, full meetings right around the country, and it actually, I think it was good for the party at the time.
Okay, well, we will be following, of course, the Labour leadership. I want to move on now because we're coming up to the hour. And of course, there has been a sharp focus on social media trolling this week following that death by suicide of the ITV presenter Caroline Flack. Politicians are, of course, a favourite target of the trolls. Speaking on Sunday with Miriam, former Minister Regina Doherty and Fianna Fáil's Lisa Chambers had this to say.
If I had a euro for every time I've been called the C word in the last month, I wouldn't need to retire.
I do think there's a different level for female politicians. It's a lot more personalised. It's a lot more based on the tone of your voice, the colour of your hair, how you dress. I'm pregnant currently, so that was coming up a little bit as well, that, oh, well, she's taking maternity leave, no point in electing her.
And speaking on Drive Time today, Fine Gael's Frank Feehan called for action to protect politicians from online abuse.
Nobody seems to be able to stand up for politicians, any other profession, whoever is instigating the nonsense effectively of abuse, they would be taken to task. But sometimes it seems to be open season for politicians. And then I saw in 2012 my good friend and colleague Shane McEntee took his life, and that really impacted. It stopped for a few months, but then again it was open season.
And that was Frank Feehan speaking on Drive Time earlier on this evening. Fintan, we were just speaking there in the break about the kind of online abuse that can be particularly hurtful.
I think social media is at its best when, you know, I've always tried to use it both personally and politically. And I haven't created separate pages for either or. And I think the abuse that can be more hurtful is the what comes in as a response to the personal tweets. But then, you know, I think about the work I do in terms of LGBT rights, in terms of the rights for transgender people. And I think the trans community really take the brunt of what once was just homophobic.
Yeah, I was going to say, has that moved away from homophobic abuse onto, as you say, the trans community? Or would you, as a fairly prominent...
you hear stuff about HIV and being pause or whatever, very personal stuff. But primarily the work that I do around transgender rights is the abuse comes in really strong.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, I'm not trans. I mean, it's more upsetting for me to know that members of my community are taking the brunt of what used to be acceptable as homophobia, but now seems to be just, upfront against trans people.
Colm, there's a lot of reporting about the incident you had at the start of this campaign, yep, where you had the break through the window, and then coincidentally your colleague, Colm, or... Jerry Buttermer, Jerry Buttermer had a breakthrough hit the window of his constituency office. Well, and I think you were saying a lot of your posters were going missing at the time.
Yeah, but even on that, in response to that tweet, for instance, Connolly Youth Movement put a response up more or less, this was acceptable practice, which was, they more or less were encouraging people to continue on.
Well, no, I don't have the tweet in front of me, so that might be your interpretation of the tweet.
My interpretation, and there was some very, I would say unwelcome responses to the tweet that I put up. But also, even during the by-election, there was a response put up on Facebook, which was extremely defamatory in relation to my own business, which is I have a legal practice. And it's one that I intend taking legal proceedings on.
Right. Okay. Roger, you want to get? I'm just conscious.
Yeah. No. Just I think that the point you were making earlier about this abuse, particularly targeting women, is relevant because we're in the process now of co-opting new councillors on for our elected TDs, and we're obviously trying to get as many female candidates there as possible. And in the conversations I'm having, that issue is a major issue coming up. And
women are reluctant to go there
because it is putting women off putting themselves forward for these roles because they feel that level of I don't want to say scrutiny, but that of constant
of abuse.
Pressure of abuse is almost accepted now at this stage.
Okay. We're going to have to come back to this conversation because I do want to explore it further. We're going to have to take our second break now.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for tonight. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my panel for joining me this evening. Tonight's programme was produced by Regina Henley. Research was by A.B. Philburn-Bowman. The broadcast coordinator is Elaine Conlon. And Kieran Cullen was on sound. Now we hand over to Colin Murray on Late Date.